Healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. This is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, where the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else always gets in ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up the mat and walked.
Let's pray a moment for our service. We thank you, Father, that you've laid on John's heart just what we need today. We thank you. We give you glory in all of this. Open our hearts and ears to hear, and let us respond to you this morning. We thank you. Amen.
Morning. Oh, good, this one works. Wow, that's loud. I don't want to blow you out. So, I wrote my sermon yesterday on my computer. Because that's what you do, right? That's what you use a computer for. And then I go to print it, and my printer's out of yellow ink. Yellow ink. Yellow. I hate yellow. I'm trying to print in black and white. It won't let me do that, right? First world problems. And then my email's not working, so I can't send it to my iPad. So now, here I am with this monstrosity, so bear with me a little bit. When Rose asked me to do this about a month or so ago, I had vacation, work trip, and just generally life between now and then. So I had a long time, so I had plenty of time to do it. So then I texted her on Wednesday. I'm like, "Rose, I got to do it this weekend because it's the end of August already." Like, it was just the end of July. So where's this time warp coming from, right? So she goes, I'll try not to pull you guys out. She goes, "Yeah, you want to do this about compassion and loving like Jesus." So then I get the scripture verse, and I'm like, "Eh, you know, I'm like, I'm not feeling it, right?" So then I start reading a little bit more, and I'm praying. And so I originally had a title called "Compassion, Love Me Like a Rock," because I just heard that Paul Simon song, and it was in my head, and I couldn't tie it in. So I was trying, and then I'm like, "All right, let me step back and say, well, what's compassion?" So then I'm trying to figure out what's compassion to me. So I always picture compassion, I was telling somebody, like a nurse with that big white hat and his big nurse shoes, you know, kind of putting a compress on your head and kind of talking reassurance words, and it's just that kind of thing. So then I do what I normally do. I went online and I looked up the definition, because Patty said you have to give a definition because you do that every time you're up here. So then I go in and look it. So it says compassion. It says to have a sympathetic conscience to another's distress, together with a desire to alleviate it. Not bad. I couldn't have done any better. So then I'm like looking through and I'm thinking about it. I go, you know, I think I had the first part, to have some, you know, I'm considering somebody else's, you know, problems or distress, but I never really thought that I want to alleviate it. Maybe when I have my kids, you know, they get a boo-boo or something, you want to take their pain away. You try to say, "Hey, listen, what's the worst that happened? Kid gets a skinned knee, I kind of take their pain. If I could take their pain away, it wouldn't be bad, right? At this point in my life, I've had skinned knees. It's not, doesn't hurt that long or that bad." And then I start to think, would I be willing to do it if it was something worse, right? Would I be willing to take their pain if it was something more severe? And then I, you know, I'm trying to think a little bit where I'm at in my life. And then I go, you know, but would I still be cavalier to do it if I had to do what's called JTT? Jesus type test. Would I be willing to do it for a stranger? Would I be willing to take Tony's skin knee pain away? Right? I know you well enough. I think I would. But what if it was worse? Would I be really willing to take someone's pain and anguish if I could do that? It's a skill, right? That's what do we call it? Empathy? Empathy is to understand. Sympathy is to have compassion for it, right? So we want to kind of keep those two balanced. So I don't know if I would be willing to do it. But we're reading the story here and we're trying to figure out, Jesus helps this guy out. You know, I've had enough pain in my life that I don't really want to take on anymore. right? We've all had a little bit here, a little bit there, and it adds up. So after a while, you kind of get tired of maybe that, or you're in a rut. So when we hear about these healing miracles, we think of Jesus helping out. He lays a hand on someone, says a kind word, and poof, you're healed. You're fed, or hey, I'm walking over here, or oh, that's great wine, right? He did all these great things. But as a reader, you don't always see the big picture. Like, what's the end game, right? Sometimes we just see the moment. We don't see the whole thing. So let's take a look at the story again. Again, bear with me because this computer's all over. When Jesus saw him lying there and he learned that he had been in this state for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Right? He asked him, hey, you want me to help you? And then the guy goes, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone always goes down ahead of me. So Jesus said, get up, take your mat, and go. That's it. That's it. There's no, like, you know, we can talk about this. We can. He just tells him to do what he wants him to do when he does it. The guy gets up and walks away. Pretty straightforward exchange. Basics. Poof, you're walking over here. And then the next year, you read that I didn't see, what I don't see in there is a lot of compassion, right? For my image. Remember, what I thought, you know, I'm looking at a nurse, patting my head, be nice. He just walks up and says, get up and go. That's it. So my concept's a little off. Jesus doesn't go into a lot of how you feel, what's your pain like, is it a 1 or a 10? Have you felt sad or despair over the last 2 weeks? You know, some of the things that they do in doctor's offices, right? They kind of go through it. It's very clinical, right? So how do we get to know compassion? How do we learn to love like Jesus? And with this example, we don't see the warm and fuzzy side, or so for me anyway. There's something's missing, and it's the emotional part. So it's hitting the definition of what compassion is, but it's not necessarily hitting what I think it should be, right? My concern. But so I think what I needed to do is step back a little bit more and see a little bit more what Jesus, some of the things that Jesus was talking about. And I ran into this quote he used to use quite a bit. It was called Hosea 6:6. And it goes, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. So then I latched on to mercy. So then I found, and this isn't my words, these are from BibleStudyTools.com. So I got to preface that. Mercy is a concept integral to all understanding of God's dealings with humankind. In English translation of the Bible, it comes to expression in phrases such as to be merciful, to have mercy on, to show mercy towards. The corresponding term, merciful, describes a quality of God and one that God requires of his people. The noun denotes compassion and love, not just feelings and emotions, as it is expressed in tangible ways. Right? Makes sense? It's kind of cool. I was like, oh, that wraps it up for me. I'm done. I'm out. But then I got to go in a little bit more. I got to give you guys a little more detail. Not much, but a little bit more. So then I'm going through and I'm like, okay, so we have to go back to the concept of compassion from mercy in tangible ways, like healing a crippled man or disabled, we would say today. Someone who's been infirm for 38 years. And, you know, back then, most people didn't live that much longer. So most of his life, he was on that bed or getting to that bed and getting off that bed. Didn't do much more. He didn't have a normal life. He was sick. We used to, you know, like I said, we use the word cripple, which paints a pretty bleak picture. Now we use words like disabled, or some people that are pretty capable, even though they're disabled, call them differently able, right? So that's a buzzword. But crippled really paints a picture for you. You know, he couldn't lead a normal life. And so actually he resigned himself at just, you know, at one point to try and get healed by the bubbles. And what I mean by that is there is, in that scripture, there's no chapter, there's no line 4. They pulled it out. There's 3 and 5, but there's no 4. So there's a little bit of back and forth of what's going on here. So I'll give you a little bit of the story. Some manuscripts include here, wholly or in part, paralyzed. And when they say they are waiting for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the water. First one into the pool, after each such disturbance, will be cured by whatever disease they had. Like Pam was saying, the bubbles. So this guy was sitting here waiting for the bubbles. So when Jesus approaches him and asks if he wanted to be healed, he didn't say, yeah. He gave an excuse. Right? He couldn't get to the pool fast enough. I don't have enough friends. I can't get there. Jesus said, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And once he was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. Now, here's the thing that got me a little bit that I noticed, because that's how I am. There's no note that the man even thanked him, acknowledged him, even asked who he was. He just moved off carrying his bed. That's funny, just carrying my bed. So, now, if you know me, my kids know me pretty well, when I'm in the car and I let you in ahead of me, I better get the wave or I'm ranting, right? I like that acknowledgement. It's just a little bit like, hey, thank you. You know, I was gracious enough to let you in. I would probably have said, if I was Jesus, I would probably have said, and what do you say when he's walking away, right? What do you say? Anything? You know, because that's how we are, right? We like to be acknowledged a little bit. A little something for the effort, as they say. It's a good thing Jesus isn't like me, or more say I wish I was more like him. But he didn't say anything, and we know Jesus didn't do it for the kudos. He didn't do it for the pat on the back or the attaboy. He was planting seeds, right? You put those little seeds in. They may not always germinate when you're looking at them, but they're there. Kind of like the missionaries that go abroad, the ones that are really out there to help others. They do work. They don't care for the accolades. They don't force people. They're waiting for people to ask them why they do it. And then they'll be willing to share, right? That's like Jesus was kind of doing that. We really set the stage for people to come with the question, why do you do what you do? Jesus sets himself up. He went out of his way to purposely help people on the fringe. He was looking at the sick, the poor, children, widows, people that were out there, you know, tax collectors, people that nobody else really either they forgot about or they didn't like or they didn't want to be associated with. People always didn't need physical healing either. You know, there's a lot of people that needed to know they were loved, that they were reassured that they were not forgotten. He was also teaching us that the system was broken. The current system that we had there was broken. So we know he broke the Sabbath on at least six times, and specifically five of them were for healing. So it's kind of wild, right? He went out of his way to help people, and he didn't care what day of the week it was. I think it's funny because if you sit there, and, you know, it's kind of always bubbling, but when you sit there and look at it, these guys, these Pharisees are like looking for somebody to make a mistake instead of looking at what happened. You know, we can't get people better. You know, we can't have people getting better on the day of rest, right? Let alone the fact that miracles are happening. So, hello, Mr. Pharisee. Crippled guy walking over here, right? How oblivious the religious leaders were to ignore the miracles just because they needed to check the box that nobody was breaking the rules. No work was done today. I always question, like, what happens if you're a Pharisee and your kid gets hurt really bad and then you have to go to a doctor? Is the doctor allowed to heal your or help heal your son? Could be, you know, we never really talked about it, but that's one of those things that I would think about, right? So Jesus is purposely finding ways to help others while the establishment is looking for ways to stop him, including killing him. But it doesn't stop him. In our story, he actually helps a man that never even asks who he is or thanks him for what he does. When confronted by the powers that be, he turns around and reports him like that. Drops a dime on him. Doesn't have any qualms about it. No hesitation, no second thought. Kind of that Jesus knows what's going to happen, but of all the people he could have gone out and helped that day, there's tons of people there. He went out and helped this gentleman for whatever reason. He does it with mercy because he goes up and approaches the man later on. We don't see it in the scripture, but he says, he found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. So he's looking at the big picture for this guy. He's not looking at just the minute you're going to walk or the next 10 years you may have of ambulation. He's looking at this is your eternal life here. The man went away, and he told, once he found out who he was, he told the Jewish leaders who he was. But Jesus still took his time to make sure that this guy knew what not to do. Make sure you look for your eternal life. His body was healed, and he wanted to take care of his soul. That's the thing Jesus wants us to know. This life is temporary. Whether you have a good vessel, sick, or healthy, this life will pass. But a greater place awaits. We need to help pave the way for each other. He wants us to love unconditionally, like he does. Love the person who hates you, or worse, the person that's even indifferent to you. Show compassion to those around you, including the homeless guy or somebody that you just like. We have to try to get over that. Now that's easy because I can say it's words, right? I'm up here and everything I say is going to happen, right? It's not. It's hard. It's work. Work is part of life. Life, pain, work. We got to work on trying to get this. We have to take the time to recognize that we are here to serve each other. It's a matter of circumstance not on what... It's a matter of circumstances that you're not the one on the mat waiting for the bubbles or standing on the side of the road asking for change. We all have our afflictions, whether inside or out. And we all put our pants on one leg at a time. I don't know. Anybody else put them on differently? Can you jump into them? No. If Jesus can lower himself to serve us and show us love, mercy, and compassion, is it too much for us to occasionally pick ourselves up to do the same? Think of it as a stretch goal. That's it. Thank you.